to here. Again. Requesting to start exploitation this morning. How do you sign off your messages? I'm thinking maybe your emails or text messages, maybe, or WhatsApp messages. Maybe a letter. How do you sign off? Maybe you sign off thanks. I quite often use that at work. Kind regards. Yours sincerely. Is that still in fashion? If you're maybe sending a message to brother or sister, you might say, loving Jesus. Like that. What I often use is God bless. And God bless, this phrase that we use, use similar phrase, God bless you. You have my blessing. What do we mean by them? So I'm going to have to, this is what I have to think about by way of exhortation is this phrase particularly, God bless. The idea of God blessing. What do we make of it? What do we mean by it? Often we use this sort of phrase, bless, or you have my blessing, that sort of idea. It's maybe a way of giving approval to something. We're giving our agreement. Maybe they're just sort of a nice, polite, friendly sign-off. You know, there's not really any substance in them, but they just, you know, they're a nice phrase to use, a nice sentiment. Or do these words, God bless, do they actually have some power? Can they have real power? So, as we've kind of worked our way through the early chapters of the Bible, I mean, we're down to February 7th, but getting a little bit of way through. But we started off here, don't we, as we always do, in the pages of Genesis. With familiar stories, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham's family. And as you read through these early chapters, I kind of challenge you not to notice just how often the idea of blessings come up. It's kind of saturated almost. Genesis is almost saturated by blessings. And you can count them in different ways and come up with slightly different numbers. But when I counted them up, I came up with those nearly 100 mentions of blessings, people being blessed, these sorts of things. Nearly 100. There's a few curses as well, but there are many, many blessings. Just a brief little bit of Hebrew, not too much, a little bit of Hebrew. The word that is kind of underlies, if you like, this idea of blessings in the Old Testament anyway, is the Hebrew word barak. I understand that in Farsi it's quite a similar word, actually, for blessings. Can't remember exactly what it is, but it's similar, so I understand. But the meaning of this word is something which has been sort of filled with power and imbued with power for success. To bless, at least when God is doing the blessing anyway, is to receive a power to live an abundant, fruitful, prosperous life. So that is what being blessed means. That's what this word means. It's about being filled up with goodness, with abundance, with fruitfulness. And when it comes to God, it's not just good wishes, is it? It's very much kind of a characteristic of him. You know, this is what God is. He is the one who blesses. He is the one who himself is full of abundance, you know, of prosperity, of life, of fruitfulness. And so when he blesses, he shares that with others. He equips others in some way for success themselves. So I just want to kind of pick up a few verses which kind of bring this out in the early chapters of Genesis. So Genesis chapter 1, you don't necessarily have to turn these up, though in most cases be verses that you're well familiar with. First one, Genesis chapter 1, when we get the account of creation, in verse 22, God fills the earth with animal life, with birds and fish and so on. The air is full, the land is full, the seas are full. Verse 22, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. So linking their blessing with fruitfulness, things being full of life. Similarly, the same sort of thing is said to human beings. Verse 28 creates male and female, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Same thing happens again. We have this sort of the interlude, if you like, of Noah's flood, and God sort of, to some extent, starts again, and he makes the same, gives the same blessing, you know, a very similar blessing in chapter 9, verse 1. After the flood, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We could go on further to Genesis 17, where a promise is given to or about Sarah. Verse 18, obviously we know Sarah was barren for a considerable period of time. But then Abraham said, verse 16, God says, I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples will come from her. And it said elsewhere how they, you know, the offspring will be like the stars in the sky and the sand by the seashore. A little bit further, come on into the story of Isaac, so, chapter 26 of Genesis. A different sort of fruitfulness. Chapter 26, verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100 times as much. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that all the Philistines envied him. So, full. His household, his camp was full, wasn't it, of all things, life and prosperity and wealth and so on. So that is what happens then when God blesses. That's what it means for God to bless. Now, sometimes people turn this around and they bless God. You get that sometimes. What does that mean? Your people say, blessed be God, this sort of thing. Now, this isn't people giving God prosperity, is it? It's not them giving God power. It's not them imbuing him with success. Rather, I think it's a recognition, isn't it? To say that, blessed be God, you're saying that you are acknowledging that God is blessed. He is imbued with power. He is full of life and goodness and abundance. So it's not so much that I am blessing God, but that I am acknowledging God as the source of life, as the source of blessings, as the one who is full of power and prosperity. prosperity and success and so on. He's successful in all that he sets out to accomplish and do. From him comes all prosperity and power. One example, again in Genesis chapter 24, in the back couple of chapters. This is the servant of Abraham. He acknowledges God in all of his success. Chapter 24, verse 27, he says, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and his trustworthiness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master brothers. Now, sometimes people, they themselves believe, perhaps they have some sort of authority to bless others. Maybe that's because they can give some sort of practical support, a substantial gift, something like that. They're able, in some sense, to equip others for success. So in some way, we're able to bless each other. And I sometimes wonder why people believe this. Why do they believe that they have the power, that they have some sort of ability to give blessings to others? A good example is chapter 27, Genesis. And chapter 27, perhaps above all others, is the chapter of blessings. Just in this chapter alone, there are about 20 mentions of the word bless, blessing, blessed. And anyone in this chapter certainly believes that there is power in the blessing. I'm talking, of course, of Isaac's blessing. This is the chapter where Jacob steals the blessing of Esau. He's already stolen his birthright. Esau doesn't seem too bothered about that one. But when it comes to the blessing, he's very angry about it. He's been denied some sort of power, some sort of power for success and abundance by what Jacob has done. So this is a chapter about a blessing and the theft of that blessing. But everyone believes that this blessing has some substance to it. Verse 7, Isaac says, bring me some game, prepare a delicious meal for me, so that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, I think that's where the clue is why they believe that this blessing has power. It's because they do it in the presence of the Lord. And Hebrews in chapter 11 won't go there. I think that brings it out a bit more, because it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. The last kind of point I want to make about what blessings and how blessings are talked about in Genesis comes out in chapter 39. And this is Joseph. Joseph has been sold as an eunuch to Egypt by his brothers and betrayed. And he finds himself in the house of Potiphar. And he finds great success there, doesn't he? Verse 5 of chapter 39 says, it came about from that time, the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. So the Lord's blessings was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. And so from this we learn that when a person is blessed by God, that those blessings can kind of overflow. People who are associated with that person, who come into contact with that person, who are linked with that person somewhere, they benefit. The blessings of God overflow to others. So, what are some of the things then that we've learned about blessings by looking at these few chapters, these examples in Genesis? There's a few things we can say. The first one is, all prosperity, success, and abundance, all life, is from God. He is blessed, and he is the source and the fountain of all blessings. The second thing is that we should acknowledge that. And that is what the faithful of Genesis and others do, don't they? They acknowledge God as this figure who has this power. The third thing that we learn is that, you know, we don't have the power to bring about our own success. We cannot bless ourselves. What we can do is play a role in the success of others by asking God in faith to bless them. And I suggest this is maybe what we do when we sign up our messages, God bless. We're putting it, aren't we? We're doing this in the sight of God, asking God to bless those with whom we're giving this blessing to as well. Doing it in the presence of God. So we can't bring about our own success, but we can play a small role in the success and the prosperity of others. And the last thing is sometimes the blessings of God overflow to others and others benefit. And there's something in that, I think, about us sharing the blessings that we have with others. It's not just for us. If we are fortunate enough to receive blessings from God, those blessings are not just for us, that they're not just for us to keep to ourselves. They're for others, as many as possible, to benefit. And I think a lot of these ideas are captured in this sort of this famous words of God to Abraham in chapter 12. The blessing on Abraham, the promises to Abraham. Chapter 12 of Genesis. It starts off with these words in verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you, in turn, will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, when we dig into the blessings, what actually are these blessings? We've kind of read about these quite a bit. What are they? Well, in Genesis, at least, a lot of the time, the blessings, they kind of carry a kind of earthiness to them. They're about lands, they're about children, they're about flocks, they're about possessions. And so the question for us is, well, we think about Christians being blessed. Is that the sort of thing that we get blessed with? Is that what we're looking for? When God blesses us, is it these sort of physical, material things that we're talking about? Well, in all sense, yes, they are. God is the source of all blessings. But I'll explore a few things just before we bring our thoughts to a close about what is it that Christians are looking for. Of the blessings of God for us. First of all, come to this verse, quite unusual verse actually, in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 3 says this. God has finished his work of creation, and it says there in chapter 2, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now, we're quite familiar with the idea of the Sabbath day being set aside, being earmarked as a kind of special day put to one side to commemorate and remember God's work of creation, the fact that he rested. So we set it aside. So we get that idea of sanctified, if you like, a bit of it. But it also says, and maybe sometimes we skim over this bit of it, is that the Sabbath day is blessed. So what does it mean for the Sabbath day to be blessed? Well, I think what it means is that the Sabbath day is more than just something which is set aside. It is something which is set aside, something which is earmarked for a purpose. But God is actually imbuing that day with its own abundance, its own prosperity, its own power, its own life. Well, what does that mean? Well, A good example I can think of is in the Exodus, where the manna was provided for 6 days, but on the Sabbath day, it didn't need to be provided because something about the Sabbath day meant that the manna didn't rot, it didn't decay. It was imbued with life, wasn't it? So God had blessed the Sabbath day, and that's just one example. It's prosperous in its own right. It has its own life, regardless of the influence of man. And so for us, I think what that means is that we can be confident to set aside time, to give God time, and not feel that things are going to start falling apart. You know, we don't have to constantly be on top of everything, in control of everything, be constantly working. Because if we put aside time for God to worship Him, to remember Him, and so on, well, God will take care of it. That time will have its own power, its own life. Things won't fall apart. So we can have faith that God will look after us if we put aside time for Him. And in fact, it's good, isn't it, for our humility, good for our sort of spiritual awareness too, if you like. But in certain times where we just sort of let things go and let God be in control. So that's one idea. Another idea is just to sort of look at the other side of things. So we've thought about blessings. What does it say about persons? So coming to chapter 4, and this is Cain and Abel. Cain rises up in jealousy, slays his brother Abel because his offering was not accepted. And God curses Cain. Verse 11, you are cursed from the ground which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. And so on. And a curse is the opposite of blessing. So think of blessing as being something which is full of life, full of abundance. Okay. For prosperity, for to curse, for God to curse, is to take that away. So it will have no life, no abundance, no prosperity. Okay. But then what do we find? We find that when we go into the story of Cain's family, we find prosperity, we find abundance, we find cities, we find music, we find culture. We find technology and invention, innovation. The sort of the family line of Cain is, in many ways, it's full of life, full of prosperity, until it's not. Yeah. So it kind of it's like the blessing that God has given on the family of Adam. It overflows. People benefit, even those who are cursed. Are also blessed. You know, the blessings all flow, don't they? But ultimately, those things come to an end, don't they? They're taken away, and the family line of Cain comes to an end at the time of the flood. You could say the same about Cain and Ham. They get cursed, don't they, after the flood because of what Ham does with his father Noah. And he said, cursed be Canaan because of what Ham has done. In the immediate aftermath, chapter 10, we find that Canaan has multiples of offspring. And Canaan becomes this sort of thriving culture, doesn't it, for many centuries. Ultimately, though, Canaan is conquered, isn't it? And the Canaanites come to an end. So the blessings of God are powerful. They're so powerful and contagious that even the cursed are still blessed to some degree. And that's what we see in this world, don't we? Many blessings in this world. And that's just because the blessings of God are such that they overflow to the benefit of others. Come to chapter 7, verse 23, though, but I want to hone in particularly on this idea of those who are blessed having a benefit on others. So, Genesis chapter 7, verse 23. In the flood, God wiped out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from mankind to animals, to crawling things, to birds of the sky. They were all wiped out from the earth. Only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark. So God blessed Noah, and he saved Noah. And because his household are with him in the ark, they too are saved. And in fact, again, we could go to Hebrews where it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things that I have not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So God saved Noah, and Noah, if you like, by connection, saves his house, because they are kind of, they benefit from the overflowing, if you like, of God's blessings. We could say the same sort of example was used at the with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. If we go to Genesis 18, we find that story where God and Abraham are talking about the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham is kind of saying, well, what if there's some righteous there? Will you destroy the city for them? And God says, no, I won't. And he goes as far as saying, even if there were only 10 righteous people in those cities, and I suspect he might have even gone lower, but even if there was only 10, he wouldn't destroy those cities. So those many thousands of people, all of whom were sort of opposed to God, if you like, against God, would nevertheless have been blessed for the sake of just a handful. So it just goes to show, doesn't it, how powerful the influence of a faithful person can be in their sort of community, in their family, in their country. And it's just something for us to bear in mind. Sometimes perhaps we don't think of ourselves as having power. But the presence of the blessed can be a protection to those they are with. And at least to some extent, negate the curse on us. Because the blessings of God, ultimately, are more powerful than any curse. Now, what these passages boil down to, ultimately, is salvation. That's where we're getting to. The blessings of God are many, but ultimately they all come down to one thing. And that is, do you come under, do you live under the shelter of protection of the Lord? Do you live under the protection, under his wings? We can't choose God, we can't choose who God blesses and why, but we do know that the blessings of God overflow. And we experience those in our lives, don't we? We also know that those who are blessed by God can be a blessing to others. They can be a source of protection to others, to all that are in their house. We know that God blessed Noah. We know that he blessed Abraham. And we know that he blessed the great seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, if you like, are all the blessings of God concentrated. And by being associated with him, by us being with him in his house, by being his brothers and sisters, we benefit, don't we, from those blessings. The blessings that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ overflow to us, to the saving of our lives, don't they? And so, we believe, don't we, that the fullness of God's blessings spill over to us. All we're in his house. We believe we are part of that house. And we look forward to the fulfillment of all those promised blessings. And I just want to finish off there with the blessings of the high priest. These are the high priestly blessings. We get it in Numbers chapter 6. And think of these in the terms of Jesus, the great high priest, the inheritor of these blessings, the one who gives these blessings to others. And what those thoughts sort of take us into remembering everything that we did as we share this bread and wine together. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23. In this way you shall bless the sons of Israel, and by adoption we are brought into these ark. You are to say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace.